Your Bracken members, Braden Gleason, Lacey Pickering, Nikita Lear, Caden Gasser, Ben Stevens, Joey Wolf, Rafael Flores, Caleb Hosier, Logan Smith. Now, here's your host, Coach Don Sony.
Welcome to Bracket U, a college basketball bracket podcast brought to you by Delphi Bracketology. We are currently in our 10th year of Bracketology, and we aim to bring you weekly updates for those who want to know where your favorite team might stand in regards to the NCAA tournament. This podcast is for all of you basketball junkies who have March Madness all season long, and we're going to share with you this evening our top 16 reveal and maybe make a discussion at the back end of the top 16, because on Saturday, the NCAA committee at 12:30 on CBS will reveal who they would put in seeds 1, 2, 3, and 4 if they were to decide the tournament right now. So we try to predict that. Then we learn a lot of lessons from what the NCAA committee has, which teams are in and which teams are not in. Joining me tonight for our show is junior Braden Gleason. He's been a veteran of the show. First time, Logan Smith joining us as well. Both of these guys meet us in the mornings and in our Power Hour Tuesday, Thursday class to discuss brackets, and they're here to help share with our top four seeds. So, fellas, let's get started, and I'm going to post our little spreadsheet here, and we'll go to our top four seeds, and I just want your opinions on the overall seed list here. Number one seed, starting with Purdue, is our overall number one seed. 9 quad one wins, no losses outside of the quad one. Followed by Connecticut, our number two overall seed. Number three, Houston. And number four, Arizona. Braden, we'll come to you first. Is there any doubt about those four teams right now going to be revealed by the committee on Saturday?
I think those are a strong four. I don't see any of those teams really moving as of now. Maybe if some big upset happens, but I would say we're pretty locked in on those four teams.
Logan, Arizona has played well. They've struggled a little bit. What team do you see on the two seed line is most likely to jump up and take Arizona's spot going forward?
Marquette. Marquette is looking really strong right now. They've been playing well in conference recently. And if they keep winning games, and I think they got a game against Creighton coming up soon, if they win that, they could potentially move up to the one seed line if Arizona or any of the one seed teams lose.
Yeah, I agree, Logan. I think that for sure the top three are almost locked in. I don't think that I think Purdue and Connecticut are going to be your one seeds down the line in 2 or 3 weeks. I'm not sure about Houston, most likely locked in. They got some tough Big 12 games, but you're absolutely right. I think Marquette is the team to watch on that two seed line. They have a lot of games in the Big East, and they have a game against UConn on the road Saturday. If they happen to win that, they are going to push for that number one seed. So going back to our list, Purdue, Connecticut, Houston, Arizona. This two-seed line gets to be kind of interesting, fellas, because we've kind of flipped these teams in the last 2 weeks. We had Kansas up at the top of the two-seed line. Then we had North Carolina, who was a one-seed 2 weeks ago, who has lost three games. So right now, we have Marquette, Kansas, Tennessee, and North Carolina on the two-seed line. Logan, coming back to you, do you think we have those in the right order? If yes, why? And if not, what teams would you move here on this two-seed line?
I think we're in a pretty good spot right now with our two seeds. If North Carolina gets back on track, potentially we could have them over Tennessee. Tennessee just got a decent win against Arkansas last night, though.
By 40.
By 40, yeah. That's really all I see. It looks really good to me.
The interesting thing about Tennessee, Logan, and everyone listening, is I think Tennessee has lost to both Kansas and North Carolina. And head-to-head can be considered. It's not an absolute criteria, but when you have Kansas has played and Tennessee has played both Kansas and North Carolina, you wonder if the committee might move them up. Braden, I know that you're not happy with North Carolina being on that two seed line. Tell me why they don't belong there and who you would replace and make your dad happy with this conversation.
North Carolina, I would probably look more in the – that's tough. Because, honestly, I would keep North Carolina up there right now. I'm sorry, father. But I think North Carolina has a better shot up there than – the team I've been looking at is Kansas.
Yep.
I mean, just like when you look at things, their numbers aren't really going their way. And so I just don't have anyone to replace them, though, because it's just so packed and tight up there. And some teams underperforming to, like, the best of their ability yet.
So for our followers, Braden is a big Duke fan. So is his dad. And so they're not big fans of North Carolina. So I gave Braden a chance to move North Carolina down, and he doesn't. So he's going to be in trouble with his dad when he gets off the show. And we already just see that a big boo coming in from Papa Gleason. So I do think these will be the teams revealed in some order. I'm not sure it'll be Marquette, Kansas, Tennessee, North Carolina, but I believe those four will be on the two seed line. Going to our three seed line is Baylor, Iowa State, Alabama, and Auburn. And I'll kick this one off. If there is a team that moves up, it will either be Baylor or Iowa State. Those two are really coming on strong with their number of quad one wins, 6-5, 6 for Baylor, 5 for Iowa State. If you're watching on the video, if you're listening to us on audio, we'll try to make sure we give the numbers and not just show on our spreadsheet that is on YouTube right now. No losses, great metrics. Iowa State has a bad non-conference schedule, which might keep them on that three line. Braden, coming back to you, any issues here with our four teams? We had Alabama and Auburn also on the three seed line. Is there a team here that we might want to consider to move down, or are we okay?
I've been looking at Alabama, and some of their losses are not ideal. Like, they've lost to Clemson and Ohio State, which aren't very great teams, but they're still not as bad as losses that the teams in on the four seed have lost. So, like, you can't really move anyone anywhere. I would say Alabama is probably the worst out of those teams, in my opinion. So I think that's fine where it's at.
Logan, some bracketologists would have Auburn down on the four seed line at 20-5 with the number 6 overall net. And the reasoning is that they haven't won a lot of quad one games. Do you think Auburn deserves to be here for us, or would you have us try to consider moving them down?
Honestly, I didn't really like Auburn until recently when I saw them get a couple good wins against ranked teams. Honestly, I think maybe Duke could replace them on that three seed line. But in the upcoming games ahead, we'll have to see how that one plays out.
Yeah, you just made Braden's dad happy on that. I do think if Auburn is moving down, it will probably be most likely Duke, and because Duke has two nice neutral wins, and I want to see here if I have Duke called up. They have against the number 12 net Baylor neutral win. They have a 22 win over Michigan State on the neutral. And then their other quad one wins are against lower level teams, Pittsburgh and Virginia Tech, non-tourney teams, but they're on the road. And so I think that will play a good part of why Duke would maybe be on the three seed line come Saturday afternoon. I happen to think that Auburn with the net, I get in discussions with this all the time, that some people think the net is not that important, but I do think the net and the metrics matter when you get into seeding. And I think the committee sees their statistic, and these two teams are 5-6. I don't know that they're going to drop them down that much further. But look for Duke maybe to be on the three seed line Saturday. And, fellas, here comes the big question, and we have a decision to make tonight, and I'm going to put it on to you two to make the decision about what does our four seed line look like. And I think this is where we will be different than the committee on Saturday at some point. But right now we have Duke, Illinois, Wisconsin, and Creighton as our four number four seeds. And I believe there are two teams below them here on our spreadsheet on the number five list, Clemson and Dayton, which I think we can both of those teams can have arguments of moving up. So we have basically five teams, Illinois, Wisconsin, Creighton, Clemson, and Dayton for three spots. Logan, coming back to you, what three teams would you put on the four seed line? Do we need to make a change tonight, official change for Delphi Bracketology tonight?
I don't think we need to make a change right now, but Clemson is on a hot streak right now, so that's definitely something to watch for. Dayton also on a hot streak. They recently had a loss, though. If they can keep it up and keep getting wins in conference, I think they have a legitimate shot at a four seed.
Here's, Logan, where I think you're right with Clemson. They have beaten the number five team on the road, the number 11 team on the road, and have some decent road wins at 5-4 on the road to go along with their quad one and quad two wins. If wins are very, very important to this committee, I think you're going to see Clemson up there for someone else. Is that Wisconsin? Is that Creighton? Braden Gleason, do we have it right, or would you make a suggestion that we change?
It's tight. As you said, Clemson and Dayton have kind of been on a streak, even though Dayton took a loss recently. But Wisconsin, I mean, we all know about their drought in the last week, but they finally got a win over Ohio State, and I believe that was at Ohio State. Let me check here.
Was that Wisconsin?
At Wisconsin, yeah.
Yeah.
They got that win, but is that enough to keep them up there is my question, because, I mean, does it stunt them enough on that fall to, like, keep Clemson not from going above them?
Yeah, that we had Wisconsin drop down to the five seed line. Then I took a look at them again. They have some pretty decent wins. A 10 against Marquette, who is the top two seed. They have an away win against Michigan State, a home win against Michigan State. They have wins over Nebraska and Virginia. So they have five wins. They also have a win over Northwestern, I'm looking at. So they have six wins against the field. I think you'll see Wisconsin in, even though we did have them as a five, and we just moved them back in, not so much for that Ohio State win. It's body of work, guys, and I tell you that all the time. It is the games in November count just as much as the games the last 2 weeks, and sometimes it's really hard when teams lose three or four in a row. You want to really drop them a long way down and discount the solid wins that they've had. I'm afraid we did that probably with Wisconsin from a two seed or a three seed all the way down to the five because they lost those four in a row. We may have overcorrected there. So I think the team, and I'm coming back to you, Logan, Creighton is the team that I think may not be in the reveal on Saturday, and you're going to put Clemson in for them. And the reason that I don't like Dayton is Dayton has zero wins against anyone in our 68-team field. Also, their quad one, 3-3, and their five quad two wins are all against teams that aren't likely to be in the tournament, which is different than Clemson, Creighton, and Wisconsin. But do you think Clemson for Creighton is a possibility, Logan?
Yeah, I really do think that it is a possibility. You can look at Clemson. You can see their hot streak. One less quad three win. Good wins on the road. Beat North Carolina this week. And Creighton hasn't really stood out to me. They're a good team, but they've done nothing outstanding to me.
Let's see. I'm looking at their team sheet right now, and that's the change I'd make. Creighton's also beaten Alabama, but at home. And then Creighton only has two wins against the tournament field, Alabama at number five and on the road against Nebraska 53. They have some wins over Big East teams that are not likely to be in the tournament. St. John's, Xavier twice. I'm leaning Clemson. Braden, tell me not to do it or tell me to do it to move Clemson up for Creighton. And then Monday night, if we have a podcast or in class on Tuesday, you can tell me I'm crazy for moving it this late. I don't know.
I say we do that. I mean, what you guys are saying, I haven't looked a lot at Creighton, but what you guys are saying based off, I think that would be a smart decision.
So I'm going to go ahead and sort this differently, and we're live and we're on podcast now, so everyone can blame Coach Tonsoni if Creighton is in there instead of Clemson. But I'm telling everyone, when you get the reveal, whether you watch it live on CBS on Saturday or you go to any podcast that's going to talk about it or any website that's going to talk about it, it'll be one of those two teams, I think, and possibly Dayton. You could see a Dayton in there. And if we're wrong, we're wrong by just one seed line with Creighton and Dayton. So that's our overall seed list for the top 16, the reveal on Saturday. Let's review it again. Number one seeds, Purdue, Connecticut, Houston, Arizona. We're almost definitely positive, sure, that you'll see those four on the one seed line come Saturday. Seed line number two, Marquette, Kansas, Tennessee, and North Carolina. Pretty solid there with maybe a North Carolina, or as Braden said, a Kansas even could fall to that three seed line. Baylor, Iowa State, Alabama, Auburn. Saturday, I think you're going to see either Alabama or Auburn drop to that four. More likely Auburn and Duke move up if that is a change on the three seed line on Saturday. And then Duke, Illinois, Wisconsin, Clemson will be our official top 16 reveal for Saturday, and where we're going to be wrong on that probably is either a Creighton or a Dayton moves from the five seed up to the four seed. So, fellas, that's a pretty good rundown. We all like to look at those top four seeds, but you have a lot more teams that are going to make the tournament. When you're looking at the screen here, we have teams marked in blue, which are automatic qualifiers. Those are the teams that win the conference tournament. They automatically get in. For us during the season, it is the teams at the top of the conferences. So there's 32 teams that are automatically in our spreadsheet, and then we have to pick 36 other teams to go along with it. And it's not always easy to pick teams down the road, 6, 7, 8 seeds. Braden, I'm going to come to you first with, is there a team from that we haven't talked about tonight that really is a struggle for us to find a spot for them in our brackets?
A team, I mean, let's see. I haven't, looking at it, I mean, it's hard to tell right now with, like, based on team, like, where exactly we want them. But I think so far we've done a pretty good job at getting all the teams, especially, like, the teams that aren't as well known, or like people like, oh, they only won that one game. I feel like we were doing pretty good at seeding those. So I don't really feel like we have a team that we're struggling with, really.
Logan, is there a team that, you know, could be two or three different seed lines that you see when you look at our spreadsheet?
Let me look at the spreadsheet right now. Honestly, looking at Florida, they have had some good wins against ranked teams, Kentucky, but 2-7 against Quad One, and at a
32 net. Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah, I was looking at their seed.
Oh yeah, they're 8 seed, number the 31 overall.
8 seed, yeah. Honestly, they maybe even be a 9 or 10 seed come selection show, but yeah, still got a couple games left in the season and the conference tournament, so we'll see how Florida plays the rest of the
season. Florida's interesting. They have no bad losses. All their losses come against Quad One. They're not very good on the road, 2-4 in true road games, and you find a lot of those. If you go to our seed list, we'll try to put out a new bracket for everyone tomorrow at DelphiBracketology.com. The seeds that we haven't mentioned tonight, so we've been 1-4 and mentioned some 5 seeds. When you get to the 8, 9, 10, and 11, it is really difficult. The resumes are so close together. A team like Florida has been an 11 seed, then a 10 seed, then jumped up to an 8 seed. And the combination of their winning games and other teams losing moves people up and down. But they're right there with Michigan State, who's 4-7 in Quad 1. Florida State's 2-7 in Quad 1. Virginia was mentioned. 2-2, those are teams that you really go back and forth every time we meet, or every time you look at the spreadsheet, you can find something good and find something bad. So let's finish our episode tonight by looking at teams in and out of our bracket. We have basically five teams that I think are playing every game right now is almost a must win to stay in the bracket. That is Gonzaga, Utah, Nebraska, Nevada, and we put Seton Hall in today because there was a one more spot due to a change in the automatic teams. Those five teams, Logan, I'm going to come to you. They have a wide variety of resumes. We got Gonzaga with a great net of 23, but only one nice win. You have Seton Hall and Nevada with 4 and 5 quad one wins, but not so good metrics, offense and defensive efficiency. Of those five teams that are our last five teams in our bracket on the 11 seed line, 41 through 45, which team do you think right now is most in jeopardy of having a tough run before Selection Sunday?
Honestly, Gonzaga. I know they haven't missed the tournament. Great net. It's hard to look at them seriously and see what they might do.
I think you're breaking up a little bit. Hang with this. We'll come back to you. But I do think Gonzaga is the team that we have in that probably might not be in. We really like that win against Kentucky on the road, and their metrics, their offense and defensive efficiency would probably – we think it was enough to at least get in, but, boy, that's going to be a hard decision going down the stretch because they have no opportunities to get more wins. But that win on the road at Kentucky might be enough with their metrics to at least get into the play-in game. Well, that's where we have them right now in the play-in game. Braden, you look at those last five teams. Is there a team that you, a loss in the next game or two would really advocate for, or you would advocate to bring out of our tournament or our bracket?
I 100% agree that'd be Gonzaga because, as you said, they do not have many. I mean, they have to win out at least their season. Their best one's going to be against St. Mary's, and that's still just hoping that that road win against Kentucky is going to get them just that edge to be in. But if they lose, I would say they're probably done for.
Yeah, it's just they're going to be so difficult to look at. Great non-conference schedule, not enough wins, great metrics. And there's a saying in the bracketology world that wins will get you in and then the metrics will get you seated somewhat. And I don't know if that one win is going to be enough to keep them in when you got – Nevada down here with 5, Seton Hall with 4 that we have below. And then when you scroll down to teams that are out, you have Providence with 4 quad one wins and Memphis, which I think is playing later tonight, 3 quad one wins. You have teams like Villanova who are 8-8 in quad one and two but have some losses. So there's a lot of teams that are going to have a lot more wins than Gonzaga. All right, last question for the night, and then we'll turn you loose. We have some teams that are out: Providence, Ole Miss, Cincinnati, Memphis, Wake Forest. Those are our five closest teams to the bracket. Logan, is there a team that you think should be in that we have currently out?
Looking at the spreadsheet, I like Providence, but it's going to be fun to watch them and Providence battle it out for that 11 seed line.
You mean Seton Hall?
Feel like both of them deserve it. Seton Hall, yeah.
Providence and Seton Hall, yeah.
Be fun to watch them, be fun to watch them as the regular season comes to a close, and even in the conference tournament.
And there's a chance both of them get in because when you win games in the Big East, you might just keep boosting your resume a little bit. Braden, which team that is on the way out is on our bracket? Bubble out that you think might be in?
Looking at it here, I mean, Ole Miss, you can't do much with your win. Your quad one wins are huge here, and Providence does have 4. And they might not be the biggest quad one wins, but those are what's going to help you get those edge. So I would say Providence probably has the best chance if they keep winning.
Yeah, and I'm actually – I'm actually thinking when I get off of the show here to maybe move Providence in over Seton Hall. I just think the Big East, they're going to look at the Big East and know that's a really good conference, and they beat up on each other, and the number of losses aren't going to be as bad as we kind of think. When you compare teams that are from Nevada and Utah that don't play a tough schedule, they're going to have better wins and or number of wins and not as many losses. And I think sometimes I get caught up in the fact that those teams have lost a lot of games. And really, they're good teams. Providence has overcome an injury to Bryce Hopkins, their second leading scorer. So we got to watch and go back. They're like 500 right now without him. So if they get a couple more wins and can show that they can compete without him, they're probably in. Seton Hall has a chance, too, because of the number of wins that they get in. And their metrics went up to the mid-60s. And a team, the highest metrics, the net that has gotten in is 77. And Rutgers got in because they had lots of great wins. I think Seton Hall is kind of that team this year. So I might think Seton Hall and Providence both get put in to our bracket at some point. Well, fellas, I do thank you for taking time on your Thursday. We wanted to give a brief conversation to our followers. I thank you for your time. We do encourage everyone to go to DelphiBracketology.com. We got articles coming out. Logan's putting an article out here. We got Team of the Week, Upset of the Week, a lot of stuff. And we're quick capsules, a quick look, a 30-second look, give you your basketball fix on your phone. Go to DelphiBracketology.com. Hopefully we have a lot of good information there. We'll have a seed list and a bracket up at some point tomorrow before the reveal. And then follow us on Twitter. Our handle is at Delphi Brackets if you want to tweet at us. And we will try to get back to you with an answer as soon as possible. This will do it for this episode of Bracket U. Coach Tonsoni, Brian Tonsoni, for Braden Gleason and Logan Smith, thank you for watching. And until next time, we'll see you later.